Hi, hey, welcome to The Cordial Catholic, a podcast for non-Catholics, for new Catholics looking to dig deeper into the Catholic faith. I'm Keith Little, an evangelical convert to Catholicism, and this podcast is born out of one particular idea. It began for me when a Protestant pastor I was working for asked me the question, what's more important, the Bible or tradition? Well, that question I hadn't considered before and launched me into a long, years-long deep dive into the history of my faith, the history of the Bible, of Scripture, of the Church, what did the early Christians believe, what happened to the Reformation, everything in between and beyond. And for the very first time in that journey, I read from the Catholic Church in its own words, what Catholics actually believed. And I realized for the first time then that what I thought I knew about the Catholic faith, about Catholicism, was based in large part on misinformation, and more often than not, on simple misunderstandings. I just didn't know what I didn't know. Well, this podcast serves to fill in that same gap, the gap between what you think Catholics believe and what we actually do. Each week, I have a real Catholic conversation with a real Catholic thinker from the heart of the Catholic faith. No misinformation here. And this week, I've got to say, one of my absolute all-time in 5 years favorite conversations with Caleb and Natalie Perkins, two Catholic converts who came into the faith really just following the lead of Christ and their complete abandonment to where He took them, became Catholic, and are leading others in this incredible worship initiative, leading praise, leading worship, teaching Catholic liturgical musicians understanding of the deep roots of praise and worship as a posture, as a kind of music, as a perspective on life, and bringing together Protestants and Catholics together under one roof, under one setting to worship God. It's absolutely incredible interview. These guys are amazing. I'm excited to have you meet them just now. I think you will love this conversation. It's just, it's deep. It's rich in just pulling water, drawing water from this beautiful well that is the Holy Spirit that flows from the church. It's amazing. I have goosebumps again after just having had this conversation and talking about it. It's amazing. I think you'll love it. This show, these conversations are brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/cordialcatholic and our one-time sponsors at paypal.me/cordialcatholic. And I have a bunch of brand new sponsors and patrons to thank for this week. Thank you to Stephen for your support. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you, Bethany. And thank you, Shelby. Guys, for your support, it's amazing. It's you guys and others in this community that help keep this show going each and every week, help to afford the studio costs, the hosting fees, the equipment, the time and energy. Guys, thank you. Thank you for the gift that is you guys giving to others that helps this show to keep going and growing. Thank you. And thank you for listening, wherever you are, whoever you are. Thank you. And now, without any further ado, my fantastic, completely unchained conversation, it's amazing, with Caleb and Natalie Perkins. Please listen and enjoy. Hey friends, welcome back to the show. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you are listening on podcast, thank you very much. If you are on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please subscribe to this show where you find it on Apple or Spotify. And please leave a rating or review if you can on those platforms. Those ratings and reviews help to push the podcast out to new listeners and expand the reach for these kinds of conversations. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe to this channel. Hit the bell so you're notified of new episodes as they come out each and every week, and please like this video and interact below in the comments, and thank you so much for watching. I am joined this week by Caleb and Natalie Perkins. They're a young couple from Fort Wayne, Indiana, who are recent converts to the Catholic faith. They are passionate followers of Jesus who aspire to build the body of Christ in ministry of the nonprofit Shema Culture, which was created to teach others a lifestyle of worship, revive hearts to an encounter with the gospel, and unite Christians no matter their background. You guys are doing Awesome work. I absolutely love it. Caleb's working as the praise director for youth at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church and working on an associate degree in theology. And Natalie graduated with a bachelor's of interior design through Indiana University and worked in the field until the Lord called her to quit her job. I love that kind of thing. And go into full-time ministry. She now is the president of Shema Culture. When they're not working, ministering together, they enjoy being with friends, family, their two dogs. You have two. I love that. That's awesome. And enjoy traveling, reading, watching movies, and antiquing together. I think we'd be friends, like in real life, guys. Those are all awesome interests. Thanks for being here, guys. Welcome to the show, and hello.
Hey, Keith. We're so excited to be here with you tonight.
Yes, thank you for having us.
I'm thrilled to have you guys. This has been, I have the luxury, okay, luxury of not having to chase down many guests for this show because, 5 years doing this thing, I finally have a little bit of rapport out there. And people often, hey, I got a guest for your show. And that's wonderful. And I love that. But you guys are guests that I was thrilled to chase down and just to kind of hound and harass for a long while to get you on the show. Because you have an awesome story. Your ministry is fantastic. Like, I don't know anybody who's doing work in an area that I am more deeply like just kind of enthralled with and interested in and think is such an awesome place to do something like that than what you guys are doing. So that's awesome. I'm stoked to talk about that in a bit. And you have an awesome story together, your journey into the faith. Caleb, I saw you at World Youth Day on the big screen, kind of behind Pope Francis, which was amazing and incredible. Wow. We have some awesome friends and people in common, which I think is really cool, an awesome connection, how we kind of met. So I've been just thrilled to have you guys on the show and excited to talk to you. And I'm glad this is finally happening. So thanks. Thanks for making it work. Thanks for being here. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. We always love sharing what the Lord's doing and just giving that to others so they can participate in it as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's awesome, guys. Okay, so I want to kind of get out of the way and let listeners get what they what they want, viewers get what they want, and that's kind of your story. So I go back as far as you want to go back. There's two of you, so I don't know how you want to spin that out, but it's up to you guys, and no one's going to care and complain if you do it a different way than they want. They're going to love it and be enthralled. So wherever you want to begin, your faith journey, what got you to where you are now? It's interesting. So I'll shut up right now and let you guys take over wherever you want to begin.
Yeah. Well, first, I know we told you, Keith, but anyone listen to this, we have a dog, two dogs, and one of them is underneath where we're sitting. So his tail's
thumping.
Yeah,
you hear the tail hitting the, the island. We apologize. Sorry. But
all right,
he's just a love sponge. So, well, my dear, I always say you should go first because it really kind of our journey. Yes, it starts with me, as Caleb will say, but like the call to the Catholic faith really started with Caleb. So, but anyways, I will let you have the floor, and then I'll just kind of jump in, and then when we get to my part, I'll show you.
Okay. Yeah. So, grew up in right outside of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and was in church my whole life on my side. I'll share, and then Natalie can share on her side. But grew up in multiple different denominations. I was a part of a Assemblies of God denomination. I was part of the Pentecostal, a missionary church, Word of Faith, non-denominational. So, like, growing up, my parents, specifically my mom, had me in church like my whole life. So the Lord really used her to plant all the seeds that were there. And when I met Natalie in 2014, I won't give all the details on this because we'll be here forever if we go into everything.
We could be here for multiple hours. Yes.
I was in a really bad spot. And had been for a couple of years. My parents went through a nasty divorce in 2012. Just went down a really bad path for a couple of years. And then met Natalie at a graduation party that neither one of us were supposed to go to, but we both ended up going to anyways.
Yeah.
And just, we talked for 5 hours straight that night. Wow. And really haven't stopped ever since. And I knew what the faith was to a certain degree. And I wasn't really practicing at the time, but when I met her, I saw what she had in her heart and the intimacy that she had with the Lord. I was like, I don't know exactly how to get that or what she has, but I want what she has. And then we dated for 3 years,
three and a half years,
and came into the church. And I've always been, what did I say?
Let's see.
We came into the church after we got married. But after we got married, we got heavily involved with the non-denominational church that we were part of. Mm-hmm. And if I get off track anywhere, just stop me. Yeah. We got heavily involved. And I have always been the type of person that asks the questions, why this, why that? Like, I feel like ever since I was younger, I've just kind of like had the desire, like, all right, I want to know truth, whether or not I realize that or not. So when we got heavily involved with the youth ministry there and the worship team at our church, and we had a really amazing friend of ours who mentored Natalie and I both, who involved in like the ministry and apostolate that we're doing now. He's actually like on our board, heavily involved with us now, and like we're Catholic, he's still like, he's Protestant. Like it's so beautiful. Like everything became full circle from it.
We'll get there.
Being in youth ministry, I had the desire to go be a youth pastor, and I wanted to pass on like everything I had gone through growing up and help the youth. And I just started asking myself these questions, like, all right, I'm hearing this word doctrine, dogma, what the heck is all this stuff? Cause I never heard any of it. Kind of like what you've talked about before, Keith, like, tradition versus like where the Bible come from and just all these different things. And I started reading this biography a mentor of mine had given me at the time about Rich Mullins.
Yeah.
And I'm reading this biography. I'd grown up listening to Rich Mullins. I still listen to him this day.
For those of who don't know who Rich Mullins is, you want to give a little.
Yeah. Rich Mullins was kind of like the forerunner of all the Christian music that we have today. Mm-hmm. The way that he would like lead at his concerts, it wasn't really a concert. It was more of like pulling people in, worshiping through praise. And then he almost like would pasture his concerts with the people to like the heart of the Lord. It was beautiful. But I started reading a biography that a friend of his wrote about him. And, there was just so many beautiful quotes in the book that were standing out to me. And I had grown up hearing all these horrible things about Catholics, that the Catholic Church was the whore of Babylon. They worship Mary, they worship saints, statues. The Eucharist was the death cookie. Like all, I don't know if you ever come across
Death cookie.
Have you ever heard of like the trick tracks that you get put out?
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. That's what I grew up with. So like as I'm reading this book about Rich Mullins, all these Catholic quotes are in there, and like they're just speaking to my heart. And to condense it a little bit, it sent me down a path of just looking into Augustine, Saint Francis, Mother Teresa, G.K. Chesterton, Ignatius of Antioch, all the early church fathers. And I started asking myself the question, like, okay, what do I believe? Why do I believe it? And can I defend it? I didn't really feel like I kind of knew what I believed. I believe in the Bible, believe like what the church was teaching about Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. But like, I didn't really feel like I had any like grounding to stand on. From like, where did the Bible come from? Where did what we believe actually come from? What did the early Christians do? So I kind of took a couple years in secret, and I didn't really tell Natalie as I was starting doing the research, because like I wasn't sure how she was going to respond. And there was one time I showed her.
It was Tim Staples, I'm pretty sure.
Right? No, it was Steve Ray.
Oh, Steve Ray.
It was Steve Ray right. Video, and it was about the papacy, and she's like, yeah, that's cool, but no.
I was really hardcore.
And I was like, I'm not saying
this. Unbeknownst to me that he was looking into
me. Yeah, I've been there. Okay. Yeah.
I told her, I was like, I'm not saying that I necessarily believe this or this is true. I said, you should just listen to this. And after that, it wasn't that horrible, but I was like, okay, I'm not going to push it. So eventually time went along, and I would just spend hours and hours. Like, I would listen to Redeemer Radio, and I would listen to Catholic Answers. I spent hours just listening to apologetics and like Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn. Eventually came across your podcast, came across Pints with Aquinas.
Yeah.
All these.
I feel like Pints with Aquinas was like really.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily foundational, but like, I remember you sharing a lot of Pints with Aquinas with me.
Yeah.
And Cordial Catholic.
Yeah. When we came across your channel, we just started eating up like all the episodes.
Yeah. So much to the point where I was thinking about this actually as we were getting ready. I was like, oh my gosh. I remember when we first came across your podcast, and it was still in the days where like your intro was, hi, hey, welcome to the Cordial Catholic.
I love it.
And so he and I would be like, hi, hey.
Oh God!
So it was just like a cute little joke that we had for a while. Like, please don't take any offense.
Great.
To that.
No, I'm yeah, I. That's, no. Yeah. Am I a meme? I love that.
No. It's just we have this thing like in our family. If somebody has like a little phrase, a little quirk,
or like a quip of some sort, like
we'll mimic it out of like a
An endearment almost. Like an endearment,
yeah. I feel like you're digging a hole deeper now. I think it's what's happening.
Yes.
I love that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Yes. And so, yeah, I spent about 2 years and just doing research, and my job gave me the ability to just be able to listen to hours of content while I was working.
Yeah.
And eventually I came to, as we were, this is something I don't normally tell people. But this is right when COVID is hitting. So this was it was the summer of 2020.
Yeah. So this was like 2 years after we had gotten married.
Yeah.
So we had dated for like almost 4 years. And then this was like relatively like 6 years into our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at that point you had spent a year and a half studying Catholicism?
Year and a half ish. Yeah.
Yeah.
And about around there. And so 2020, that summer, was kind of like, it was the pivotal moment where I had like I got to become Catholic. But what led up to that final like push early in 2020, or like right before COVID had even hit, I was just kind of going through after listening to all of, like the church teachings and listening to all these hours and doing research, I kind of had this like crisis of faith for like it was almost like it messed with my head so bad. I'm like, what actually is true anymore?
Yeah,
because I've grown up with what I've been given, and this I mean it by no disrespect to my Protestant brothers and sisters, but like I had this growing up, and then I was reading this and doing all this research, and I'm like, this seems to be more in line with what the early Christians were practicing, which is for me, I'm like, I want to be closer to the source. And, but I, after listening to all the testimonies of what happened when people would convert, like it terrified me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And about this time, maybe early March 2020, I kind of, you guys, Nat, like I kind of got to a point where I'm like, I don't even know if I want to be Christian anymore. Cause like, I just almost like it messed with me that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, I don't even know what to fully believe. And I came across, met one of, let me make sure I get this right, Natalie's brother's best friends as we were preparing for her brother's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that makes sense. I met him at a bachelor party and just sparked up a conversation, and come to find out, like, he was doing some similar research into stuff. And for whatever reason, that was like the final spark that I needed. And it pushed me back into all the research again. And and as I was preparing, I actually ended up being the person that got, by the state, legally ordained and married her brother and his wife
before we became Catholic.
Wow.
And as I was preparing for that, and I was just thinking about like the weight and the authority of the Catholic Church, and like go, like I was processing all of that as I was like doing, like preparing like the sermon and everything for their marriage.
Wow.
And yeah, I ended up listening to this podcast by Father Mike Schmitz, and I was in one of the back rooms in our house here, and it was the SEEK conference from I think 2015 with the message "It'll change your life" or something like that, and he's reading Jesus' words in John 6.
Yes, and, I know this one.
Yep, and he says, if you don't eat my flesh, you don't drink my blood, you have no life in me.
Yeah.
And then Father Mike took it a step further. He paused for a minute and was like, if you don't want the Eucharist, then you truly don't, you don't really fully want Jesus.
Yeah.
And as hard as that was to hear, I just like dropped. And in that moment, I was like, Lord, I got to become Catholic. I have to do it. I know that there's consequences for this. I was like, but I can't run away from it. I really believe it to be true. And I came to Natalie and I was like, this is going to sound weird. This is going to be out of left field. I told her, I really believe this. I called the local parish and said, I'm going to join RCIA. I said, I am not pushing this on you at all. I said, if you want to just come to RCIA and listen to it from the mouth of Catholics on your own, just so you can at least understand, I said, I'll go to Mass Saturday nights, and then we'll go to the church we were at on Sunday mornings. We'll make it work. And then she said, should I say what you said?
Yeah. So a little background that just kind of like, essentially give glory to God, because this response that came out of my mouth was not of me. I can tell you that with great assurance. So like he was saying, like this was all like shortly after COVID and kind of like during like still somewhat of the shutdown. We were kind of starting getting back to normal. Yeah. People are still kind of like iffy about everything. And
we had just bought our house.
Like we had a lot of things going on. And honestly, like before this, like I genuinely thought that he was just kind of like having like a crisis, like a midlife crisis in his 20s. And I was like, he must be having a crisis of faith or something, like this will just blow over. And then like, you know, a month or so later, then he comes to me in all seriousness and he's like, Natalie, like I have to become Catholic. And I was like, okay, because unfortunately I too I went to like a more Baptist background like school pretty much from elementary first grade on till like I graduated. And so they unfortunately taught that like Catholicism was almost separate from all these other Christian faiths and backgrounds. And so I pretty much grew up believing that Catholics was like a whole like separate thing. They weren't even really Christians, and like some unfortunate misconceptions like were just bestowed upon me. And so here I am thinking like, and also more context, we knew no one that was Catholic, like not a soul. So we didn't have any family that we knew of that were Catholic, at least unbeknownst to us.
Not immediate family. Like
no friends, no connections at all whatsoever to the Catholic Church. So again, this is totally from the Lord. And so like the only exposure that I had was from what I learned through school. And of course, like you trust your teachers and all that stuff. And so I was like, okay, like, Lord, give me the words. And like what came out of my mouth was like, Caleb, I don't know if I can follow you where you're going, but if this is where the Holy Spirit is leading you, like, who am I to tell you no? Like, if this is where the Holy Spirit is calling you, like, go. You have my blessing. Like, if this is what's going to draw you deeper to the heart of Christ, like, I want you to go, is essentially like what came out of my mouth. I don't know verbatim, but that's essentially like that was pretty close to what I said to him. And I think that that was like wisdom beyond my years that was bestowed upon me by the Holy Spirit, because once he started, going to RCIA, and actually leading up to this, like before he went to RCIA and after he had told me, so kind of like that in between phase, we were working on our house because we had just bought it. And it was like closer to the end of summer, like July or so into August. And I remember like, since he was you know, going to become Catholic, I thought, okay, I should probably learn some things about the Catholic Church. And so I let him.
She was helping me with my apologetics.
Yeah, let's just, yeah, pretty much. Because what would happen is, like, I would be like, well, what about this? And then he would, like, we'd almost, he was very, very calm. I will say, thank you for being so calm, gentle, and patient with me. Because I would be a little defensive and kind of, like, argumentative and be like, well, what about this? Thinking like I cornered him, yeah, and stuff like, yeah, that. And then, yeah, he would very kindly, very gently, like, explain to me, well, actually, this is what it means. And this is what the Catholics, or this is what the Catholic faith, like, says about this particular thing. Like, obviously, I brought up Mary, I brought up the saints, I brought up, I don't know, maybe a couple of, oh, relics, purgatory, maybe a couple other things, purgatory. And so, like, it was like this back and forth for, like, probably a month, almost to 2 months, where I was very much on the defensive and very gently, very patiently, very calmly. Like, he would share, like, a podcast for me to listen to that answered my questions, or he would gently explain it to me. And then even, like, pull in scripture and, like, share, like, oh, this is actually how the Catholic, like, faith, like, the Catholic Church, like, teaches, like, about this specific passage. And, like, I will say, like, the more and more that he gently, very calmly, like, shared it, like, my walls began to come down. Yeah, and, yeah, so as my walls began to come down, like, then my curiosity started to get, you know, intrigued or piqued, whatever, what have you. And so he starts RCIA, and I think to myself, okay, so I've heard it from him, and I've heard it from, you know, some podcasts, like, or, like, speakers like Scott Hahn, obviously Pines with Aquinas, so Matt Fred, you, and a couple other people. And I'm like, okay, I need to hear it from, like, someone who's in front of me, like, Catholic's own lips. Like, I want to hear it from, like, actual, not that you are actual Catholics, but, like, basically Catholics that I can interact with. And I'm like, I just want to hear it from their mouths. And
so, this is a whole deeper.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I couldn't explain that better, but you know what I mean. And so I start going to RCIA with the huge, like, oh, disclaimer. There we go. That's the word I want to use. The, yeah, huge, yeah, disclaimer that I'm like, I am not becoming Catholic. I just want you to know this. But I'm interested and I want to hear it from Catholic's lips. So, like, and yeah, I want to be able to, like, ask some questions and that sort of thing. Because it's great to hear all this, you know, information about it and, like, have, like, like, someone explain it to you, but it's like sometimes you just need to stop and ask questions. And I loved Caleb, but I wanted to hear it from more people. And so we started going, and again, very, very slowly, like, the walls came crumbling down, and the Holy Spirit softened and humbled my heart little by little by little. And I remember hearing for the first time, like, what Catholics believed about the Eucharist and, like, how essentially it was the fulfillment of the Passover. And, like, the Passover wasn't completed until the Jewish people actually ate and partook of the lamb. And that's, like, essentially, like, how the Lord fulfilled, like, the Passover was through his death and his passion and his resurrection and becoming essentially, like, that bread and that wine that we then consume, his body and his blood. And once that connection kind of clicked, that's when I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is Jesus. Like, oh my gosh, like, why didn't I see this before? Why didn't anybody tell me about this? And so, like, I remember having, like, this epiphany, because at that point I was doing my own research. And when I had that epiphany, when I had that, like, Holy Spirit, like, light bulb moment, I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, like, if this is true, if you are actually present in the bread and the wine, like, the Eucharist and the wine, like, I want that. Like, I don't know about the rest of it that comes with it, but if that is true, like, I know, like, in your goodness, Lord, that you will open my eyes and you will reveal all things to me. But if I know this to be true, like, everything else must be true. I'm just at the point where I'm not ready to, like, receive it, chew through it, and, like, yeah, like, accept it. And so, like, that was pretty much my first step. And at this point, it was, like, the end of October. So it hadn't, yeah, been very many months, like, mm-hmm, and maybe four in total.
You called me, I think, after you were listening to something, someone explain it, and you were like, oh my gosh. So, like, it was like the biggest, like, revelation for her. It was, wow, beautiful.
Yeah. And funny story. So a couple weekends before we had went and visited my brother and my sister-in-law up in Michigan. And so Caleb was essentially, like, at this point, going to tell him or tell them that he was becoming Catholic. And so, like, I was prepared. He was prepared. And so we started to have the conversation. I found myself arguing for, Mary and her validity and, like, for Jesus and the Eucharist. And at that point, I had not said that I wanted to become Catholic.
I'm like, well, you're strong for Catholic over there to me.
Yeah, so I just thought that was funny that, like, already my heart and my mind and my spirit was saying yes and agreeing to it. I just didn't realize it until someone was pushing back and I was like, no, actually, I believe this. Yeah. Like, but it didn't, like, register to me until that moment.
And there was one point after, I'm trying to leave, like, the name of, I'll leave the name of the church out, but, like, the church that we were involved in before we came in to the Catholic Church, there was, like, some... Oh, I don't know how to explain it. There was some, like, not beef, but there was, like, something with the leadership there that was just not going well. It was like, why can't you guys see this? And there was, like, nobody making, like, a declarative, like, stance on whatever it was. And I remember getting in the car, and I was like, and this is why we need a pope. Or no, maybe she said that. I think that's what you were like. This is why the papacy makes sense. Like, somebody.
Yeah.
I was just like.
Yeah, because for me, like, the more and more, like, I let my guard down and I became curious, like, the more and more, like, things just made sense to me and it filled in gaps that, like, that I never really questioned. And I still to this day wonder, like, why didn't I question that? Like, why didn't I think more about that? But it's just because, like, I think when you grow up in, like, almost like this culture or this cultural belief of something, like, you usually don't, like,
question it,
I suppose. Yeah. And so I'm very thankful for Caleb and for his inquisitive brain because, like, he led the way for this for sure, at least for the Catholic part.
I would pester her all the time with, like, well, how do we know this is true, or where did the Bible come from, or who had the authority to put the Bible together, how do we know these books are the right books, like, just questions like that over and over and over.
And I think they were really good questions, and I honestly found myself kind of like, wow, why haven't I thought of this? I don't know, these are good questions. So Yeah,
and so we went through RCIA, and she finally had the point of which rite was it? I think it was like the second or third rite we were practicing for at the church. I can't remember what it's called. Anyways.
Oh, yes.
Rite of election or something. I can't remember what it was.
Is that the one that happens, like, early on, like, a few months after, like, RCIA starts?
It's like you come before the congregation and say, like, I'm, like, really seriously looking into this. I'm not, like, fully, per se, like, 100%, but I'm close. And
I thought it was, like, the point where, like, you basically have to make a decision.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so, because I remember our RCIA director. So I was there, again, just out of curiosity. You know, originally. And so I was coming to everything with him, and the RCIA director, during this, like, practice for this rite that we were going to do that coming Sunday, he turns to me and he points to me. He's like, okay, yes or no, are you in or are you out? And then he, like, he didn't skip a beat and just kind of kept going. And I went to him after, like, our practice and everything, and I was like, you know, if you had just waited 2 seconds more, I would have told you, actually, yes, I do want to be a part of this. So I remember him being blown away and being like, oh, my gosh.
Okay. Even at that point, I didn't even know that she was in yet.
No, I hadn't really declared that until that moment when I was just kind of faced with the decision. Yeah. Like, do I go with my convictions, or do I just continue to live in this, like, weird, not necessarily limbo, but kind of limbo experience of, what is truth?
And so we ended up, it was really hard because the church that we were involved with, like, we were pretty decently heavily involved. And, like, as we were going through the RCIA process, like, we stayed being involved. We didn't come out and tell everyone right away because we're like, okay, there needs to be people that can at least for where I was at the time, like somebody that can step in and take my spot. So we tried to strategically and like respectfully, I wanted to honor what was there already.
Yeah.
Someone to come in and.
Yeah. And the last thing that, cause we were like a part of like some like initiatives, and the last thing that we wanted was, one of us to be pulled just simply because like we didn't have full agreement, so to speak.
And as soon as we came forward and they found out about it, that's kind of what happened.
Yeah. And we did our best to respect, the current beliefs that they had, but always pursuing Jesus, with those that we were leading in that moment. Or as, like, essentially in that transition phase. So we tried to do it, like, the most honoring way that we could. And, it was sad when things finally were fully revealed. And, like, we had some positive reactions, and then we had some negative ones. And you know what? That's okay, because the Lord said, like, we'll have persecution. And if that's the price that I have to pay to receive Jesus and the Eucharist, like, I'm willing to pay that because I can't imagine saying no to Jesus, especially when he called us so very like beautifully and deeply and clearly to both of us just in a different time.
And I still like it started with like looking into everything with Rich Mullins, but I still blame, I'm not going to say his name, but like our worship leader at the time, because he really, as he was mentoring us, he really instilled within us a heart of seeking after Jesus, no matter what it looked like, no matter what people thought or how crazy it was. Like when we came to him and told him like what we were doing, he's like, that's amazing. He's like, if that's where the Lord's leading you, he's like, go. So,
He was definitely instrumental, I think, in essentially preparing our hearts to receive the Catholic faith, because it was very challenging to both of us. As you heard, like it took him like, you know, a year and a half to like fully chew through it and accept it and receive it. And I mean, I put up some resistance, but I think it was slightly easier because someone else I knew and loved and trusted was, you know, going through it as well. But you know, we both had our hearts softened, I think, preemptively. And so the Lord knew exactly what he was doing. And it's beautiful to look back and just see like all of the ways like the Lord like lays out your path before you. Mm-hmm.
And how did that lead then into what you're doing now? Was that that come directly out of this? Like right away? Because you left your job. Like you had
to. Yeah, I did. Yeah. So how that got started was as we were coming into the church, one of the things that actually I honestly don't know why I didn't think about this more. Maybe it's because I knew the Lord had it in his hands, but a little more background. So at the other church that we were affiliated with, I was heavily a part of the praise and worship team. And so every Sunday, almost every Sunday, like I was on the team, whether it be like one of the leads for the day or supporting roles for like, pretty much I was there.
We were there every Sunday.
And so when he says like we were heavily involved, we were very heavily involved. And so like I had just felt like the Lord had called me to like step out and use my gift of singing that he gave me like for him and for his glory. And so like I had been doing that for like 2 years or so at this point. And under the worship pastor that he was talking about earlier, and he really mentored me and essentially like helped me see like just essentially the beauty and like worshiping the Lord and seeking after the heart of Jesus. And so I fell in love with the Lord even more deeply and just worshiping him through song and such. So anyways, all that to say is that was like a huge part of like my connection, my intimate connection with the Lord. And so when we were coming to the Catholic Church, we didn't know or didn't really see much of like praise and worship being involved in like daily practice of the Catholic faith. And so Caleb was worried that like I would have to sacrifice that to follow this path. And like I said, I didn't really think about it until he came to me one day and he's like, have you thought about this as reality? And though my heart was sad, like it was still like joyful to give up something that I loved so much, especially like something that I shared with the Lord, like to receive the Eucharist. And so I was okay. I was like, you know what? It's fine. If there isn't anything, like that's okay. And so we started getting involved with a couple at St. Charles Borromeo, which we now attend. And they were like, no, actually, like, we do praise and worship. It's just maybe not as frequent as what you guys do. But she's like, praise and worship is actually a part of what we do. And I was like, oh. And Caleb was like, okay. Wow, Lord.
Okay.
Like, thank you. Thank you for that gift. Because we were fully expecting to have to leave that part of ourselves behind. And then we
got connected with Damascus, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. So shortly after, literally the week that we became Catholic, so March 14th, 2021, we became Catholic. 5 days later, we found ourselves at a worship retreat at Damascus, which
in Centerburg, Ohio.
In Centerburg, Ohio. Yeah. And so we were. Our world was totally rocked because it was almost as if our past world and our current world were colliding. I was like, wow, this is my element. This is my jam. I'm sorry.
No, do you know what Damascus is?
Yeah. But for listeners, tell us more because that's amazing.
Yeah. Do you want to explain? You want me to?
Go for it.
Yeah. Damascus the main thing that it is a youth summer camp for, Catholic kids that are coming in confirmation, and there's stuff there for high schoolers too. And then they've over the past, I don't know how long they've been doing.
2 years. That was the first one they had.
Was it? Yeah. Okay. They started doing worship retreats for worship leaders because they wanted to build up and equip like Catholic worship leaders, but they were also like collaborating with, Protestant worship leaders as well. And there was like this unity movement, even in what Damascus was doing, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
So,
and so at that retreat, I always forget her name, Meredith Molden and her husband from Upper Room came and, essentially like co-led the retreat that was at Damascus.
Is it the songwriting one?
No, maybe. Maybe it was the songwriting one. But anyways, it was like some sort of worship retreat. But I remember distinctly like sitting there and just receiving the words that they were saying and thinking to myself, like, Lord, like, I want to do what she wants to do. Like, or I want to do what she's doing. Like, I want to equip worship leaders and like essentially like spur them on to like continue to build up like the church militant and also like unleash and unlock and like bring forth the beauty of heaven and like help people like realize that. And also like the army, heaven's armies, because like when we praise, when we worship and when we thank the Lord, like things are broken, chains are released, bonds are dissipated and walls come crumbling down. And cause there's power in our words and like our words and like our thoughts and our heart postures are so very powerful and crucial to like the way that we see the Lord, the way that we see others and the way that we see ourselves. And so I was just looking at her and thinking like, wow, like I want to do that. I want to do what she's doing. And I just told Caleb this recently. And like, I hadn't thought about that in a long, long time. So I don't know if the Lord was preparing you to share this tonight or not, but yeah. So he was just planting a little seeds along the way. So fast forward a year and after that experience, and during that year, we were kind of like asking ourselves like, okay, so now we have this whole new community and the Catholic realm, but like we still had a lot of relationships with our Protestant brothers and sisters. And we're like, okay, like what's a way that like we can bridge the gap? What's a way that we can create like a space for both of them to come together and both of them to like mingle with each other? And like, like how can we like then unite? And so we actually thought really, really small originally, and we were just going to do like either like a monthly or like semi-weekly, like just little praise and worship gathering at or praise and worship ministry at St. Charles Borromeo, which is the church that we go to right now. And the Lord had other plans, we'll just say that, because that idea was like in our hearts for a long, long time, but like it just wasn't time. And we ended up meeting our really good friend and actually one of the co-founders of Shema Culture, Gloria Corman. Sorry, I almost said Gloria Perkins because, okay, funny side story. funny side story. She is marrying his younger brother. Yep. So she will be my sister.
And then her other sister is marrying my other brother.
Yes.
And they're doing a double wedding.
Yes. So, wow. Extremely beautiful. And so that's why my brain was like, wait. No, she's not a Perkins yet. I can't claim her as our own. Wow. Just yet. So yeah, beautiful fruit has come from this, but we'll get to that. But anyways, and so we met her that following. So it was like that fall.
Was it the summer or the fall of that year that we came in?
Yeah. So we met her a couple times, and it wasn't until like that fall that like we really began to like get to know one another, mm-hmm. and we ended up having dinner, and we talked until like all of us talked until like 1 o'clock in the morning, yeah. just about like Jesus and essentially the dreams and the things that the Lord had been placing on our hearts. And we realized like, wow, we're of the same heart and mind, and yeah. we need to be friends with you. And then she invited us to lead worship at a young adult retreat. Mm-hmm. And we were during free time in the basement of this retreat center, and we just started worshiping together. And it was almost as if like the Lord
made us
like one in that moment, and like worship and song and heart and mind and strumming and everything. And we were just blown away. We're like, wow, wow. That was beautiful. And like, we had never worshiped with each other like before that. And we were just kind of like, okay, like there's something to this. And so then we became friends and we started hanging out and we started dreaming and talking about like what we wanted to do. And we led worship like for a couple other retreats leading up to this. And then March of 2022 mm-hmm. comes around. And at this point, Gloria, she was going to quit her job in December, but the Lord said, no, not yet. And I was actually thinking and contemplating like, okay, Lord, like I feel you calling me to something at around like December-ish of 2021. I'm like, but I'm not sure what. And so I was just open and ready to receive whatever the Lord was going to put on my heart. So March of 2022, like I said, comes along. We go to another Damascus retreat, and this was the worship retreat. The first one was a songwriting retreat. This one was the worship retreat, the first ever.
Yeah. I just started working at St. Vincent, where I'm at now.
Yes. And, oh my gosh.
I derailed you.
No, you're fine. No, I was just thinking like, wow, Lord, like just reliving it. I'm like, wow, Lord, you're incredible. And so we were all excited to go to this. And throughout the retreat, the Lord was asking me to give my full self, my full yes, like wholehearted. Like, he's like, I want you to give me everything. I want you to surrender everything. And throughout the entire retreat, he kept asking me, like, will you surrender everything? Will you give me everything? Will you give me your job? Will you give me this? Will you give me that? And like every time I was like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And so we get to the end of the retreat where they have what's called an outpouring. And it's essentially this big worship night where they invite everybody from the community and those who were at the retreat, and they have a speaker come share the gospel, and like they just like worship, and they have prayer ministry going on. And I remember like just kind of like contemplating all of this during worship and just thinking to myself, I need to go receive prayer. And so I go back and I receive prayer. I didn't really say what I was exactly like thinking or contemplating about, but I just told the people that were praying over me that like I just need wisdom from the Lord, and I want to hear like him clearly, like I want to hear him clearly, like I want to hear his voice, and I want to do what he wants, like I want my heart to desire the things that he wants for me. And so they start praying over me, and I unfortunately, looking back, I really wish I would have recorded it because it would have been so cool. But there's only a few words that stick out to me to this day, and I think it's for a reason. But I remember one of them speaking the word over me, like, the Lord's going to call you to ministry and be a missionary. And I was just kind of like, well, that's cool. And I thought to myself, like, I've never seen myself, like, as, like, yeah, a missionary of by any means, never really thought that that was a possibility. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm listening. And then the other person that was praying over me, like, also gave me a word, like, that, like, I would be a teacher and be, like, in the realm of academics or something like that. And I was kind of like, okay. And I could kind of see more of that because I was, before I was an interior design major, I was an art education major. So that kind of lined up with me. I'm like, yeah, I could see myself teaching people. I'm like, okay, Lord, like, again, I have no idea what this means, but all right. So I go back up and I get to my chair, and the worship leader that was leading, like, pauses, like, in, like, the middle of, like, the instrumental, like a lull, so to speak. And he says, like, I feel like this is for someone in the room. And he starts, and my Holy Spirit senses were like, okay, I'm listening, Lord.
Spider senses.
Yeah, your spider senses tingling. And I was like, okay, I'm listening, Lord. Like, what are you going to say? And he starts describing, like, this scene with the disciples where they're in the boat and, like, there's, like, the storm raging all around them. And he says, the worship leader says, like, I feel like this person, like, that I'm speaking to is Peter, and Jesus is just asking you to step out of the boat, step out of safety, step out of security, step out of comfort, and to follow after Jesus with your eyes fixed on him, like, and you walk on water. And I was just thinking to myself, oh my gosh, like, the Lord literally just asked me to step out of, like, my occupation, what I'm doing, and follow him. And I was just kind of like, okay, I think that was the Lord asking me to officially quit my job, because, like, at this point, he was asking me to give everything that kept coming up in my mind. Yeah. Like, I need to quit my job, but I don't know what that means or what to do next. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share anything before I continue? I'm sorry. Okay. I just got really excited.
You just went for it. I talked the first half most of the time.
Very good. But do you want to share your experience? Because I feel like you give some additional context to the story.
Yeah. So, like, backing up just a little bit. So, like, yeah, when we came in, like, we had the desire to, like, we wanted to go back to our Protestant brothers and sisters and just find a way to have common ground, because there's, like, as you know, yeah, and as some of the listeners will know, like, there's just so much division and so many walls between Protestants and Catholics, because we're living with consequences of a wound that's over 500 years old.
Yeah.
And being on both sides of the equation, I'm sure you can feel this too, is like feeling the weight of that wound and people just not knowing what they just don't know. And they're going off of either misinformation or unintentional lies that maybe people have spread or whatnot. But yeah, we figured out, like, hey, like, using praise and worship through a form of prayer, and it can be a form of worship, like, obviously, the Mass is the highest form of worship. Like, there's nothing that Jesus offering himself unto the Father. Like, you can't. That's the only reason we can worship in the first place, is because of that. And but finding commonality between our brothers and sisters, so we could learn first and foremost we are family before we even, like, dialogue about, like, the stuff that is hard and difficult to get through. But over the course of, like, 2021 into 2022. Yeah, we just kind of had some, like, times where we led here and there, and then when we went to this conference, I knew. Wait, coming in,
leading up to it. Yeah, you've got to share that part.
Leading up to it, one of the people that went with us to the conference had come across, like, a passage of scripture, like, I think, like, a day or two before we were going.
No, it was the day that I asked if everybody had gotten,
that's right,
yeah,
okay,
tickets.
Sorry, there's so many stinking details.
There's so many details.
That's great.
And this happened 2 years ago now, a little over 2 years ago. So sometimes I'm like, I remember the big parts. Sometimes it's hard to remember the details. But what this person on the, when Natalie had reached out asking if we got our tickets for the conference that day, this person had read the passage of, go to Damascus, and there I will reveal my plans for you. I was with this person, this friend of ours, before leaving to go to Damascus. We were getting gas, and he shares this with me, and I feel like I'm not supposed to share it. And I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, Lord, what do you have for us on this retreat?
Yeah, so he was prepared.
Oh, kind of.
Myself and Gloria had no idea. And so when he tells us this after the fact, that only confirms, like, more of the things that, like, the Lord revealed to us. But I'm sorry.
No, sorry, I keep rubbing my nose. I have my allergies acting up. And so I got this, like, this going into the retreat. And we get to the conference. We go through the first night on Friday. And sitting there in the chapel late Friday night, I'm like, Lord, like, I know there's something you have here for us. Like, what is it, like, you want to speak? Kind of like, yeah, like Mary's posture, like, Lord, what is, I'm your servant. Like, what is it you will for me? And I don't know how to explain it other than just when you know the Lord speaks to your heart. It may not always be like an audible, but you just know he's speaking to you. Mm-hmm. My word for the year of 2022 was fiat, which is Mary's response. I feel like the Lord told me, like, I want you to continue to have a heart posture of saying, Lord, thy will, not my will, but your will be done. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to take, I thought originally this is temporary, but I've, over the course of 2 years, learned, like, it's not temporary. You're going to take the role of St. Joseph and be more of a background role and be the support. Because for the beginning of our marriage, Natalie was the interior design. She was the one bringing in the money. I was planning on going to school to go try and be a youth pastor, and I wasn't making squat.
No, because he had reduced his hours so he could start going to school. Yeah. And so, like, I was basically bringing home the majority of the funds. And so, like, the roles flipped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just started working at St. Vincent and everything. I'm like, all right. My thought was like, okay, I'm going to be doing this for a little bit. And then eventually, once Natalie and Gloria got the call to quit their jobs, I'm like, all right, when do I get to quit too and join? And I found out, like, Lord's like, there, like, that's not for you. So, but yeah, the night when Natalie went and got prayed over during, like, prayer ministry and we were having the outpouring, we all three of us, Nat, Gloria, and I, all went and got prayed over individually, like, separate.
Yeah.
Gloria had almost the exact same thing as what Natalie had. And then when I went back and got prayed over, there was a guy on my left, a girl on my right, and I had my eyes closed and my hands out, just in posture of, like, reception for what the Lord had. And all I told them was, I was like, I feel like the Lord's calling me into something in this. I don't remember what I said. But the guy said, he's like, I'm just getting this, I'm seeing, like, you in this boat, and, like, the waves are, like, rocking everywhere, and Jesus is out on the water, and he's asking you to step out in faith. And this is before the guy up on the stage had said anything. This is before all of that. Yeah. And then the girl on my right just kept saying, like, this isn't going to make sense, this isn't going to make sense. And she kept saying it over and over. And in the natural, I can tell you, none of this has made any sense. So it was...
Amen.
Yes. So, yeah, like, we got that, like, prophesied over, and then... do you want to take it from there?
Yeah. Yeah, so he, too, then hears what the worship leader said, and I'm sure that probably confirmed what you received. Yeah, because then he starts about
Peter walking in the water, and I'm like... I still don't know what this means, Lord, but I know you're saying something.
Yeah, and so after the night, we all come together and we all share everything that we received in prayer. And like you said, we realized that they all interconnected. And what the worship leader had said about us being like Peter and stepping out of the boat and like walking out on faith, like, resonated with every single one of us, like, in a very powerful and meaningful way. And so we were all just kind of like dumbfounded, like, whoa. And then, like, Gloria, I love her so much. She was like, I'm quitting my job. Like, okay. So that one, she was, like, ready. But the Lord had one more thing in store for us. And I think that this is the coolest part, because this just kind of just shows you just how well, like, the Lord does us. It's going to take a little bit of time for me to explain everything, but just...
Are we good on time?
Oh, we're here. I'm here forever. You guys just...
Okay. So make sure. Okay.
Yeah, I won't drag on, but it is a story worth being told. So the retreat ends Saturday night. We wake up and we drive home on Sunday. And Sunday, like, you know, we're just kind of debriefing everything that the Lord did, and just, like, almost like on a spiritual high of, like, wow, the Lord is amazing. This is fantastic. What's he going to do? Like, oh, my gosh. Like... okay, Lord, like, now we need some solidified plans of what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And so we get home, we drop everybody off at our house, everybody parts ways, I unpack, and I felt this urge. Caleb actually had to leave to go to work. So I just felt this urge to just sit with the Lord and just journal everything that I could, like, remember, like, to the slightest detail. And so I sit down in my chair that I usually journal in our home, and I just heard the Lord speak to me. And he was like, wait, I want you to actually physically come to me. As in, like, he wanted me to go to adoration and sit with him physically. Where we adore the Eucharist. And so there's two 24/7 adoration chapels in Fort Wayne, one at St. Vincent de Paul and then one at St. Jude. And I would consider St. Jude more of like the home chapel that we typically use, because it was the first one we went to, and also like we're closer to it. Yeah. And so I was just kind of like, okay, Lord, like, which one do you want me to go to? And he's like, I want you to come home. And I knew that meant go to St. Jude's. So I was like, okay. So I grab everything. I quickly get to the car and I'm driving, and I get there, and I had this thought like 2 minutes before I turned into the parking lot. Wouldn't it be funny if Gloria was there? I roll in. And there is the car that she left in.
Nope.
And I saw her stuff in the back of the car. And I knew she was in the Adoration Chapel. And I was like, that's crazy, Lord. That's funny. And so I go in there. I sit down. And she just so happens to look behind her shoulder. And she sees me. And I see her. And we both, like, just share this, like, huge grin. Like, oh, my gosh, this is kind of funny. And so I'm sitting there praying and stuff. And she's praying, too. And then, like, a few minutes after, and she and, like, the other person that we had gone with, like, were the only two people in the Adoration Chapel, and I came to relieve them, unbeknownst to me, because traditionally speaking, like, you're not supposed to leave Jesus alone, like, in Adoration Chapel. There's always supposed to be someone there. And so, like, I relieve them, they leave, and I'm sitting there praying and just, again, journaling everything. And, you know, I just had a beautiful time with the Lord, and someone comes in to relieve me, and then I go home. Well, that next day, on Monday, Gloria and I were
lost it when she told me all this. I was like, you're making this up.
Gloria and I had plans to, get together that night for coffee, because that coming weekend we were going to give a shared talk at a retreat that we were leading at, a youth retreat. And so I had the day off because I just needed some time to process. And so I ended up going with Caleb to St. Vincent's, because he had to work later on that day, but I think he took the morning off. And so we're in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel. And if no one's ever been into it, it's like pretty much a stained glass mural, like almost 360 degrees around you. And it was like one of the first beautiful like spring days of the year. And so the sun was just peering in, the Blessed Sacrament was there. He wasn't exposed, but he was there. Jesus was there. And I was just doing my devotions and just having just a beautiful time with the Lord, just so thankful and like just capturing every moment. And I just so happened to be in the book of, or the Gospel of Luke for my devotions. And I was just staring at my Bible as the sun was coming in, and like the colors were just all over the page and almost like dancing. And I was just kind of like just reveling in just the simple beauties of the Lord. And something catches my eye, and I started to read it, and it said, "The Calling of the First Disciples." And I was like, I have a feeling I'm supposed to read this. And so I started reading it, and it's essentially the story of when Jesus comes to Andrew and Simon, and he basically asks to use their boat. And he ends up getting in the boat and tells him to cast their net out. And, like, you know, Peter's like, but Lord, like, we fished all night. Like, we're not going to get anything. But because you said so, I'm going to do it. And so he casts his net out. And then he brings up, like, so much fish that it starts to break the boat. And then, like, he's like, wow, like, you are, I can't remember his exact words, but, like, basically, like, you're Lord. Like, and then Jesus is like, come follow me. And then it says in the details, like, after that, like, in the paragraph after that it says, like, and then, sorry, I almost said Peter. Simon and Andrew, like, pulled up their boats on the shore and left everything behind and followed Jesus. And at that moment, the Lord was saying, okay, Natalie, I'm asking you to pull your occupation onto the shore, leave it behind, and come follow me. Wow. And I was like, oh my gosh. Simon and Andrew are Gloria and I, and Jesus is asking us to quit our jobs, to, like, leave our occupations and to go follow him. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, and I was like, okay, Lord, before I freak out anymore, I'm going to read it again. And if the same things, like, pop out to me, like, I know that this is you speaking to me. Yeah. And so I was just, I asked for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I read it again, and even more strongly, like, that sense of, like, the, this is the Lord, this is Jesus, like, asking me, like, personally, like, will you quit everything? Will you put your job aside? And will you, like, leave everything behind to come follow me and what I have for you? And I'm like, yes. Yes. I don't know what it looks like, but yes, Lord. And so I was so excited to tell Gloria. And so I was just like, yeah, on cloud nine for the rest of the day. I get there. And so we get our coffee and everything. And as soon as we see each other, we're like, oh my gosh, I have something to tell you. And she's like, I have something to tell you. And I was like, oh no. So we sit down and I was like, all right, Gloria, like, go first. Like, go ahead. Or I don't actually. Yes. No, she did go first. Because she told me, and she's like, okay, so you remember yesterday when I was at the Adoration Chapel? And I was like, yeah. And then you came to relieve me, and I was like, yeah. She's like, just moments before you came in, the Lord led me to the Gospel of Mark. And in the Gospel of Mark, he led me to this passage, and it was the calling of the first disciples.
Come on.
And I was like, nuh-uh. I was like, nuh-uh. And she was like, yeah. And then I was like, no! We had, like, a little freak out moment. I'm like, please continue. I have something to share with you. And so then she, like, shares that. She's like, the Lord revealed to me that you and I are Simon and Andrew, and Jesus is asking us to quit our jobs to come follow him, whatever that means. And I was like, oh, my word. Like, he asked me the exact same thing, but in the Gospel of Luke. And so I tell her my whole story, and we're just, like, flipping out because, wow, like, the Lord just knows us and knows each one of us. So whoever is listening to this right now, like, the Lord knows you so intimately, and he'll speak to you in the ways that you need, because Gloria is one of those people that she's like, just tell it to me straight, get to the point. I don't need all the fluff. Just tell it to me straight. And that's how Mark is. Yeah, like, that whole passage, that same story that I described
so
to you,
short.
It's so short. It's like three sentences. And she got the exact same meaning out of, like, the passage that's in Luke. And it's like quadruple the length. And the Lord knows that I love detail. And it's like, I find beauty in the detail and, like, so much meaning in the detail. So he spoke to me in the exact passage that I needed. And he spoke to her in the exact passage that she needed. And, like, but we still pulled, like, the same meaning out of it. And so that's when I knew, like, 100% for sure, like, this was the Lord for sure calling. And if I had any doubts before, like, they were gone at this point. And then she's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I already turned in my letter of resignation. And I gave them till the end of the month. And I was like, oh, my gosh, okay. Like, me sitting here thinking, I'm going to hurry up. And so, like, that's essentially, like, the call that we received, like, Gloria and I received. Wow. And as soon as I put in my month notice, like, the Lord just began to speak to all three of us about, like, what he desired, what his dream was, like, what he wanted this ministry to be. We were debating, like, is this just something that we're doing on the side, or is this, like, a nonprofit? Is this just a ministry attached to a church? Like, what is this, Lord? And so he led us to start up a nonprofit, and, so that way, like, we could receive, like, funding to be able to, like, teach and equip others, other worship leaders, and also, like, move forward with uniting our brothers and sisters and creating a place of united prayer and worship. And so, like, very slowly over the course of pretty much that whole year, like, he almost, like, revealed to us, like, each aspect of our ministry at a time. So, like, our ministry can be summed up in three simple words: teach, revive, and unite. Yep. So the Lord revealed to us that he wanted us to teach others how to have a heart posture of praise, because when we live out of that praise, like, that's when our life is fully devoted, like, unto the Lord, and, like, thankful, and, it, like, we're changed, and our heart posture is ready to receive, and, like, living out a lifestyle of worship, like, not only through praise and worship, but, like, through the Mass, and through, like, our Catholic faith, and, like, essentially letting that bleed into all aspects of who we are, as followers of Christ, and then revive, like, we really, like, aspire to, like, create a place where people can encounter God as he truly is, like, no flashing lights, like, no, like, you know, emotional tugs, like, you know, oh shoot, what are those called?
Strobe lights.
Fog machines. Fog machines, there you go. No fog machines. Like, we wanted it to be like stripped down and like be like Jesus. We want his real, authentic, genuine heart, like that intimacy to be real. And so that calls us to be intimate and real with like the Lord, and like when we're leading, just drawing people to the heart of Jesus, like not to ourselves, but to Jesus. Jesus and only Jesus. And so like we wanted to like just remind people of the beauty of the gospel and awaken hearts to just that reality and live, like encourage them, challenge them to live that out. And then finally, like the Lord revealed to us that he wanted us to be a bridge between our Protestant brothers and sisters and our Catholic brothers and sisters, because something that the Lord has revealed to us, and you may feel it too, but like since we've been on both sides, like the Lord's given us this beautiful gift of almost like being bilingual. So like we understand what like certain language the Protestant uses, like we understand what their meaning is, but because like it's different language than what Catholics would say, like sometimes there's miscommunication in like the intended meaning for what they're trying to express. And so there's actually been a couple times where we've been like, actually they didn't mean this when they said like a spirit of like religion, like they meant like more of like a spirit of like
legalism
which is entirely different. But obviously Catholics view religion very differently than Protestants view religion. And if you have anything extra to say to that, I realize I've been talking a lot, so
it's okay. I was just letting you have it. Great.
And so the Lord has very beautifully like revealed what his heart is for us. And honestly, we're just kind of along for the ride. Of course, like, you know, we plan and we prep everything, but we always give it back to the Lord with open hands, just asking him for his final direction, his final guidance. And oftentimes, like, our plans do end up being either majorly altered or altogether like, nope, that wasn't it. We're going to do this. And we have to follow once again with full faith and assurance that, like, the Lord is guiding us, like, closer to his heart. So.
I think that, when we started asking the Lord, like, what do you want this to look like? What do you want this to be? The Teach, Revive, Unite really came from a heart of, like, coming into the Catholic Church and seeing the beauty of, like, everything we've had from the foundation of when Christ started church. Like, and seeing a lot of Catholic brothers and sisters. I mean, this is the normal. This is the... How do I say this? This is the stereotype that it's not like this everywhere, but just kind of going through the motions, Protestant and Catholic both. But like we ourselves included, like it's a temptation for every Christian just to go through the motions. But like we really, the Lord really laid it on our hearts to like want to lovingly like guys, like wake up, look at what we have. Like we have so many beautiful things. We have so much freedom here where we're at, and we're given everything, and yet oftentimes it doesn't feel like it's appreciated
or understood.
And that's part of where like the Teach, Revive, Unite, we wanted to teach Catholics how to worship the Lord through praise, and not just be a way where you just throw songs together and you sing Kumbaya, and it's like, no, actually there's power. There's actual power. Like, there's a story I could go into, but I won't. Like, there is power in lifting up praise and lifting up the name of Jesus. It's not just songs that we sing. 'Cause if that were the case, like, I wish that Yeah, I wish that this is something that's on our hearts too, like people who lead liturgical music, to help them understand one day, hopefully, that like when you're leading music for the liturgy, whether that be Novus Ordo, Tridentine, like Gregorian chant, whatever hymnal, whatever you're leading, you're participating in leading worship.
Yeah.
Like we're, yeah, I could go on forever with that, but like we are joining in with the angels and the saints and heaven's armies.
Yeah.
And it's not contained just at the Mass. Like, as you know, we're commissioned at the end of the Mass, like go forth. Like it's a way to go forth and continue to preach and live the gospel by lifting up praise to the Lord.
Yeah. And like what we've been like recently reminded of in this season is that we are living tabernacles, which means that we actually take the living Christ like into the world. Like we're the light of the world, and where there's the tabernacle, there's usually worship. And so like we're supposed to continue to stoke that flame of worship and desire for the Lord. And like that begins first in our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we've found that like sharing the gift of praying and worshiping through like music and song, yeah, like helps unlock some of those things and unlock some of those desires. Mm-hmm. And like Caleb said earlier, like it's not the end all be all, like, cause every time that like we have a beautiful time of worship, like our hearts burn and ache to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. Yes. Like it prepares our hearts to receive him more fully and more beautifully, because essentially what you're doing in that time is you're ridding yourself of yourself, and like you're getting rid of the distractions, you're surrendering yourself unto the Lord, and you are just, you're locked in. Yeah. You're fixing your eyes upon Jesus, you're singing unto him. Like if it actually, like if the words are truly becoming like the prayers of your heart, like they, yeah, like he said, they can just be singing along or kumbaya or whatever, what have you, but like when you actually apply yourself and when you actually like contemplate, meditate on the words, like it's supposed to lead you and draw you deeper to the heart of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so, yeah, we could go into more like our heart behind it, but we worked as we were laying this out, trying to figure what this was. We applied for a nonprofit status. We were told it was going to take anywhere from like 6 to 9 months. We sent it in. We had a couple friends of ours work with us on sending it in, and we got it back in a week and a half and approved, and we're like, how in the world did that get through
so quickly in, yeah, all this mess?
But yeah, we started working with a couple different teams in the area that were already like established, like worship teams, and then we actually helped establish like a full worship team at one of the parishes in the area, and worked with them for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. And then in the process of that, we started, this is kind of where we're at today, really, yeah, at the moment. We started doing these things called Unity Nights.
Mm-hmm.
And which you probably heard from some of us from David. And this is the unite part. We had the desire of like finding common ground, and we're like, okay,
mm-hmm,
let's not pretend that there's no differences,
yeah,
but let's come together on what we unite on, and we can unite on the person of Jesus, and let's come together and have a night of prayer and worshiping through praise, because we can all do that together. And we're going to come together and be like, all right, look, we know we have differences, we're not going to pretend they're not in the room, but we're going to love each other enough to put those aside for the night, and we're just going to be united for a night and let the walls just come down. And we've done how many of them, including,
we've done like four official ones,
and there was two other ones that were Unity Nights, but they were like smaller scale before it was flushed out.
Well, and it was kind of like the Lord was like preparing us for them.
Yeah.
Like we didn't know what they were. They were just like, you know, hey, worship night, anybody's welcome. We had, yeah, Protestants and Catholics like leading worship that on those events. Yeah. So,
and yeah, the idea sprung from taking a Catholic parish and a Protestant church, and then building relationship with the leaders and then like the worship team. And we've done it every other. So like the Catholic church will host, and then a Protestant church will host, and each community will go to each other's, and they'll have the night at the church. And it's been so amazing. And we usually will pray the Apostles' Creed together, we'll pray the Our Father together, it's just, I've never seen or heard of anything like this happening. And it's from the Unionites, there was this thing that has recently sparked. We weren't in charge of it, but we were asked to be a part of it, and this sprung from the people involved in the Unionites.
Yeah. Sorry. No, green.
It's this thing called the Common Table Series. Mm-hmm. And it was started by people that were involved with the Unionites, and one of a good friend of ours who's really initiated a lot of the unity movement in Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. And the idea was kind of continuing the unity movement of, let's all get around like a metaphorical table together, and let's, based off of like, we had a whole team that was put together, prayed and interceded, and it was all about, okay, let's talk about the actual things in front of people with a panel as Protestants and Catholics, like what we actually agree upon, and then like talk about like church teaching, both sides, and then come from a place of like, okay, before we dive into the really hard stuff, we're going to come at this as family. We're not going to come at this as enemies, mm-hmm. which is often what it has been in the past. And the way the Knights have progressed is the panel will talk, they'll have specific questions, they'll talk for a while, and then there's a Protestant and a Catholic leader that have been paired at every table in the room that facilitate breakout discussions.
Yeah, and those leaders have pre-established relationships.
Most of them do.
Or at least that's the intention behind them, so that they're coming together in unity, and they know who each other are, so that they're more able and readily available to not only back up each other like if something were to go wrong, but also like have that respect and honor because they know the other person and the other person's heart. So in the intention out of like both Unity Nights and the Common Table is to continue to build relationships between Protestants and Catholics, and that was like one of our desires like through Unity Nights. And that's why we decided to have like the formula of having Unity Nights being co-hosted by a Protestant and a Catholic church. Yep. And like essentially uniting the leadership so that they were familiar. And we tried to pair churches that are close in proximity. Mm-hmm. So that way like distance isn't an excuse. Nope. And like once they know each other, like then they can start, you know, building that friendship and like maybe doing more events like outside of just like what Shema culture initiates.
The first one was about laying the foundation of like what we agree on and how
the common table
and like how we're going to approach like the values as like this movement together. And then the second one, they went straight for it. They went on the topic of authority, and it was I don't know how to explain it. Like the night started off, the moderator got up and a couple of the other leaders got up and introduced everyone. And then us with some really good Protestant friends of ours got up and led a short time of worship. And like, you could just feel it in the room. The room was unified, even though there's differences and it was a heavy topic. The room was like unified.
Our worship was like 10 minutes, but it was the most powerful 10 minutes. One of the most powerful 10 minutes of my life. Yeah. That's for sure.
And we went into it and realized, like, as we're going to the Common Table and as we're going to the Union Nights, like, as Catholics, having what we have, like, coming in with a posture of humility and seeking to go low and seeking to understand versus pushing the trying to be understood. Like, yes, we all want to be understood, but, like, before we can do that, like, we have to seek to understand the other first. Yeah. And the night was amazing. There was so much amazing feedback. Like each of our tables, the conversations that were had, like, I don't know if necessarily a bunch of walls came down, but a bunch of walls were really like in a charitable way, like exposed that people didn't realize were there.
Yeah.
And after the night, I was praying about it. I was like, Lord, like, I've given up trying to figure out exactly what you're trying to do in all this, other than I know in John 17, you prayed for the body to be one. I felt like he kind of like said that, it was, this is an example, or like, how do I say it? That basically like what is happening right now is it's like a divorced couple is coming back together to slowly start dating again. And it's like a body that was at one point fully united, that because of things, horrible things that have happened in the past, nobody can deny any of that. It's like there's a rediscovery happening of one another and a curiosity of just seeking to know one another again. That's just, and there's more stuff that we could share, but I didn't even share about Portugal or World Youth Day or any of that.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, we could be here for hours just telling story after story about how the Lord has moved in such like mighty ways.
Yeah.
Like, even in just like our regular life.
Like, because of all of this, like, I'll share a little bit. Like, we, by our diocese, we got asked to go lead all the mass music, all of like adoration and some other stuff too.
Any praise and worship.
Any praise and worship at World Youth Day in Portugal. So we carried around music equipment, our instruments. We lugged those things. I don't even know. Like, it was by the grace of God that all of it showed up in the first place. Like, we got invited to do that. And because of the relationships, we got to actually invite a couple Protestant friends of ours. Mm-hmm. And you know one of them. They got to come with us. And as a good friend of ours says, they got to see a whole lot of Catholic church. it was beautiful, and I know that like in some ways they felt out of place. Mm-hmm. But it was just beautiful having them there with us and them being willing to sacrifice stepping into the awkwardness. Mm-hmm. Because of the love and the relationship that we all have for one another, of being willing to go be with one another in areas that we feel uncomfortable in. It was just, and then, yeah, obviously, like, getting to meet Pope Francis, that was a whole thing in of itself. That was not, I didn't even know that was going to happen.
No, but you should share your story real quick about how you
I'll make it really fast. I'm looking at the time, like, we're an hour and 22 minutes. But,
this is great. This is amazing.
So as we were approaching World Youth Day, a good friend of ours who's connected with a lot of people in the diocese, she found out, along with some other people at the diocese, that for the Stations of the Cross at World Youth Day, they were going to have people give testimonies, and they were looking for an English speaker. And I don't know if they just sent it to all of the dioceses in the U.S. I don't know who all they sent it to, but they were looking for an English speaker. And our friend was like, "Hey, Caleb, you should submit your testimony." Because they're looking for somebody who has struggled with addiction and has a rough past and like has had a conversion. I'm like, okay, I know there's people out there that have way better stories than mine. I'm like, all right, I'll submit it. It was like, what, 2-3 weeks later, I got an email back from people coordinating it for World Youth Day. And they ended up, I thought it was just going to be an interview. And they said, "Well, we've gone through all the applicants, and we want to go with yours." And I was like, "Say that again."
I was like, "Wait, come again."
And they said, "Yeah, so you're going to be up on stage with the Holy Father, with the other people that are sharing their testimonies. We're going to pre-record. You're going to go to studio in Fort Wayne. They're going to send it to Portugal, and then it'll be all edited and put together." And I asked them a couple times. I'm like, I'm doing it either way, I said, but am I gonna get to meet the Holy Father? I was like, what are the chances? And they're like, "We don't know, but you'll be about 20 feet from him the whole time." And I was like, all right.
We were front row. Wow. And like, yeah, right across from the Holy Father.
The security behind the stage was, I looked at Natalie a couple times, I'm like, "Don't do anything. Like, don't breathe wrong. Don't look at them wrong."
Like, it was insane.
It was just, I'm like, if anything, I'm like, I probably look sketchy being up here. But it was, oh my gosh. It was, I don't think either one of us will never forget that. And they even told, I thought it was just going to be me. And they said, "We want to actually invite you and your wife to come.
I didn't know that I was going to be invited until like, I think a couple weeks before we left for Portugal.
Yeah.
So
it was, and then at the end of it, so there was, I know people have different viewpoints on it, but whatever. There was an interpretive dance done during Stations of the Cross. And at the end of it, Pope Francis waved, because we were right there, he waved all of the dancers to come up. And it wasn't planned, because he wanted to say thank you to all of them. And they were just going nuts. And then he looked over at the three of us that gave our testimony, and then our spouses. And then he waved us up. And I looked at Natalie, and I was like, we're getting ready to meet Pope Francis.
We're like, pinch me, this isn't happening.
It's
got to be a dream.
It was, yeah, like having Pope Francis, having the Holy Father shake your hand and say thank you. And then I know he says it to everyone, but having the Pope say, please pray for me, that was, I know people, there's different viewpoints. I'm not going to go down it. There's different viewpoints on Pope Francis, but like just seeing, looking into his eyes and just seeing the humility of somebody in his position who could be the most arrogant, pompous person if he wanted to be.
Yeah.
But asking two people from the United States, like, please pray for me, and then giving us a blessing over our marriage. Like, I was just like, I'm never going to forget this the rest of my life. It was just so beautiful.
Yeah, and there was just something very tender and very caring in the way that, like, he spoke to you.
Yeah.
At least he spoke to us. Yeah. I'm sure he probably was that way with everybody, but, like, you could just tell the intentionality.
Yeah.
It was almost like, he usually describes it. It was, like, almost like meeting Grandpa.
Yeah.
Like, if that can kind of give some context to how you feel. You're like, oh, hi, Grandpa.
Yeah. And, like,
or Holy Father.
It was funny, like, when I shook his hand, and he said, thank you. And then I asked him, I introduced Natalie, and I was like, could you give us a blessing on our marriage? And he gave us rosaries. And then afterwards, he was like, it's so noisy. It was just funny. But
Yeah.
It was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's human just like us.
Yeah. That's where we're at. We just got done with the most recent common table series, and now we're working towards the next Unity Night. And,
yep, which will be in Fort Wayne on May 30th.
May 30th
at Sunrise Church. Yeah. For anybody from Fort Wayne who's listening and wants to come,
yes. So, and there's a whole
starts
bunch
at 6:30.
There's a whole bunch. I'm not going to go into it, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that's the Lord's doing it where I'm working at too, working with the youth and. Basically, like what we're doing with Shema, equipping worship leaders, like I'm doing that with the youth that lead every week.
Yeah.
And it's just,
So. Yeah.
That's us.
That's amazing, guys. Wow. We were like 6 minutes in, Caleb, and I thought, oh no, he's talking so fast. The story's going so fast. We're going to run out of things to talk about in like 10, and here we are. Much longer, and nobody at all has tuned out because this is an amazing story. I just think like there's so much in here that you can see, and I can understand and hear this from hearing your story as you tell it. Like just the position of humility and of service and of surrender that you guys have embodied in your life. I think in the choices you make to follow the Lord, like to quit your jobs, right, and to follow. Like that, not knowing where you're going or anything, right? That just spills out into the kind of ministry that you're doing, right? Like there's that connection between like how much you're willing to give up for God than what he can do with that you've given, right? Because I feel like the thing you're doing here, this unity, this teaching, this bringing that kind of Protestant kind of charismatic spirit and heart for that kind of worship into Catholic parishes, and then using that to unite Protestants and Catholics to bring that together, that is so kind of cutting edge. Like that feels like the bleeding edge of the Holy Spirit working here is what it feels like, the very edge of things, right? And I don't think you could get there and work in that if you hadn't surrendered everything, right? It takes those moments of surrender. I mean, you could probably be doing something pretty cool if you'd kind of like half quit your job and did it part-time still, right? And like, right? But like, you know, it takes that complete surrender to get to where God's taking, I think, you in this really cutting edge thing, right? This really, at what feels like to me, and I watch you guys and I hear your testimony and I watch you guys on social media and follow what you guys are doing and speak to people like, you know, like my wife's cousin, David, who you mentioned, the connection we have here. Yeah. And what you're doing is deep and really on the very edge of that thing that I think, like, that's where the surrender comes in and that posture. Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't do that otherwise, I don't think. Right? Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so. And actually, funny thing that you say that. There's been actually a couple times where I've thought to myself, because, you know, financially, like, Caleb made significantly less than I did, like, when I quit my job. And so, like, you know, we were living very, very frugally. And, like, there was a couple times where we were in trouble. And I was like, right, I don't know how the Lord's going to do this. But, like, I tried to get part-time jobs. Like, literally, I've tried, like, two or three times. You'd think that I'd learn after the first time. But, you know, we're human. And, you know, we need a couple instances to wake us up to realities. But for me specifically, it was like a continuing of surrender. Because every single time I would pick up a job, and actually the first time that I picked up a part-time job, it was like 9 months in. And as soon as I said yes, like, I had this, like, just this unsettled feeling. And it only lasted a month. And every single time I would go in, like, I had that unsettled feeling until finally I was like, Shema suffering. I can't do this. I need to surrender this again. And so I gave it back to the Lord. I quit. And as soon as I quit and I walked out that door, peace just came flooding back in. And I was like, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
And like, there's been a couple other instances where the Lord has allowed me to have like unconventional like jobs or sources of income to like help like supplement here and there. But like, for the most part, like, I haven't worked a full-time job in 2 years, and by the grace of God, we're still here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we still have our house. We still have our animals.
We're
not on the street. Like, the Lord like has taken care of us in that step of faith. And so sometimes because we're walking every single day, sometimes I forget just like how much in and of itself, like, that is a daily surrender.
Yeah.
Like how faithful the Lord has been up until this point, like sustaining us. And I do distinctly remember the summer following after that March that we had quit our jobs. Gloria, she's got a really beautiful gift of discernment, especially like discernment of like the Holy Spirit. And we walked out of a mass service that we had gone to, and we had all three were kind of like worrying about like finances and how the Lord was going to provide for us at that point. And she turned to us and said, like, the Lord will not let our wallets run dry. So, like, and that has stuck with me. I'm like, yes, like, if we're doing his work, like, he will provide, even if it's unconventional, even if it's like literally swooping in at the last minute to like save us from whatever it is. It has happened.
Yeah.
There has been things where we've literally crumbled and fallen to our knees and said, Lord, like, we physically have no way to pay for this. Like, need you, and we need a miracle here. So, and he's come through every single time. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just a continued testament of like just the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I was going with that other than to just wrap up Jesus.
That's amazing. And we too quit our jobs, and like, we have a similar experience. We didn't start a ministry, but we felt this strange calling to move back to my wife's hometown. We had no idea really why. Her parents are here. It's a lovely place, but we had no real sense of why. Like you said before, Caleb, but nothing makes sense, right? Like, this makes no sense, but we'll do it anyway, right? So we did.
Yep.
We quit our jobs. We left a place we lived for about 20 years. The friends we had there, the community we had there and had built up for a long time. We left that kind of sight unseen, and everything just fell into place in these crazy, you know, miracle after miracle. Like, this miracle house kind of appeared for way below market value, right? This miracle job that was against all odds to get kind of appeared very quickly. You know, I ended up being out of work for like 2 weeks in total. I missed, you know, salary. And like, we were ready to be like, you know, working at the grocery store for years as I built up like, contacts in this, in, you know, this new city and got back into the workforce, like, you know, full time. All these things we expected, just miracle after miracle after miracle. And we're left with this crazy testimony that somebody asked, oh, how'd you get here? Well, here's how it happened. And we had this crazy story to tell that's of us just kind of radically trusting in this kind of weird promise we heard from God to quit our jobs and move, you know, sell our house with nothing else in mind, just, and then find a house and find a job and these things with a young family, right, in tow. But I think, you know, stories like ours, stories like yours in an even more radical way, like these, I hope serve for encouragement to listeners and viewers who are like, should I do that thing? Like, yes. Like, you know, yes, that crazy headlong surrender into the unknown. Like, listen to where God is taking you. Go, right? Because he will provide. One thing for me that I always was thought of, and this has been a life theme for me, is so often in the Psalms, it's like, remember the deeds that were done for you. Like, remember these things from the past. Like, meditate on these things. It's always, you know, David or the psalmist, like, reminding the Israelites, reminding the reader of the Psalms of the great things God has done, right? Yeah. And these, for me, like, these are stories that serve as those touchstones, right? Like, hey, remember when you quit your job and began that ministry? Like, yeah, that was 10 years ago now, but that was an amazing thing, and look where it's taken us. Look what this has become. Like, those are amazing, amazing testimonies that I think, hopefully, that's encouraging for many people to listen to, right? I think it's just amazing, that kind of super, super headlong surrender into the unknown, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've lived life in the other way. I can tell you, like, as scary as this is, it's worth it.
Yeah, and I was actually going to say that, like, I hope and I pray that this is encouraging, like you said, for someone to take that leap of faith, but, like, also too, and sharing the story that I've lived through, like, sharing it and, like, reliving it, like, encourages and builds my faith, because, like, how often do we get stuck in our day-to-day lives and we forget the very miracles that brought us to where we are today? And, like, actually, that's been something that Caleb and I have been recently talking about. Like, like, it is a struggle, like, sometimes living in our world. And, like even sometimes it's a struggle in ministry. But, like he said, we wouldn't trade it for the world, because we know that this is where the Lord has appointed us for such a time as this. And especially on those days where we're overwhelmed or we're tired or we're burnt out, or we're just like, Lord, we throw up our hands and we're like, I don't know what to do. Like, the Lord is still good, and he is still determining our path as long as we keep giving him our yes, even though we might not understand or know what's beyond. I don't know, I was going to say beyond the river bend, and then my mind went to Pocahontas and went the other way.
That's beautiful. I think of, you know, I don't want to keep you guys forever, but I think of one other thing. And, a friend of mine, a fellow Canadian, Father Joshua Caswell, who's Superior General of the Cans Regular of St. John Cantius in Chicago, beautiful church there, who I've met lots of friends who've been there, and they've spoken very highly of the beautiful liturgy that they have and the beautiful church they have and the sense of the Holy Spirit that pervades this. And he's a convert to the Catholic faith. He told the story on this show probably 4 or 5 years ago now. Amazing guy who was, his family were missionaries up in, like, northern Canada. And they went there to evangelize the First Nations, Indigenous people that lived there. They get there and they were all Catholic, who'd been evangelized by, like, the Jesuits when they came in, like, the 1700s. To Canada, right? The first North American martyrs. And so Joshua and his family get there, and they are, like, reverse evangelized by these Catholic Indigenous people, and ended up converting the whole family to become Catholic. And Joshua and his brother Nathan are both now priests. Joshua, younger brother, is in charge of the older brother in the same order. It's just beautiful, beautiful story. But they were charismatic Christians. And Father Joshua said to me that there's nothing... And you mentioned this, Natalie, which was why I'm thinking of this. There's nothing more, like, charismatic, more at the heart of worship than, like, Christ in the Eucharist, right? Yeah. And how all of the worship songs we sang as evangelicals, all the the prayer services, all the things that we were doing, I can think of countless nights laying prostrate during worship on the floor. These things that we did, these physical things we did and said and sang, right? That wanted more of Jesus. Well, Father Joshua goes, here it is. Here's the fulfillment of all those things I was singing that I never really understood until I became Catholic and could experience that, right?
Yeah.
And I think of the humility posture you guys have, right? You're not saying, hey, Protestants, come worship with us and here's what you need, and force feeding them Jesus in the Eucharist, right? That's not the thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think the thing is like you talked about and like what I try and have had the heart to do for years on this show is just to say, hey, here's what we believe. Here's the thing. These walls, at the common table, these walls might not be broken down in the sense that we're all going to convert to the same thing here and all become Catholic overnight. But here's what we believe, in spite of the misconceptions you might have, right?
Yeah.
Here's the center of worship that was the center for like 1500 years, right? And still is for us. Despite what you might understand, how different that might be from your perspective, here's this thing, right? It's such a different. Yeah. I know. I love it. I love it so much, right? But I think the Eucharist as a center of that thing is crazy. Is beautiful. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've lost my train of thought completely around the river bend.
You start seeing the colors and everything.
But what I was gonna say is an encouragement for, and maybe even a challenge for like those of your listeners who are Catholic, who are lifelong Catholic and haven't experienced some of the things that we've experienced, remember that you have the risen Lord, you have the King of the universe, before you. You can touch him, you can taste him, you can you can sense him, you can see him. You have Jesus, you have something that not all Christians have. And how much more so should our hearts be burning with joy and with praise and with song? And like you were saying, how much more should our physical postures be prostrate before Jesus, our hands raised high in surrender and essentially giving all of ourselves unto the Lord. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, for this is holy and pleasing unto the Lord and is your spiritual act of worship. And that's one of the ways that we get to enter into the mystery of the Mass, is physically giving ourselves unto Jesus when we receive him. And that's not just for the bounds of Mass. That can be in a time of prayer, in your own home closet, or that can be in a time of worship, with Protestant brothers and sisters, or just worshiping with your guitar or on the piano, or just heck, if you're not musically inclined, turning on praise and worship music and just letting those words sink in and in response saying yes, Lord. Lord. How much more so should we Catholics be charismatic in the sense of overjoyed and overwhelmed with the beauty of the gospel because we have Jesus.
Like you were saying, a lot of times when it's involved with Protestants and Catholics, a lot of times in the past it's been both sides. Hey, you come over to my side. Hey, you come over to my side.
Yeah.
We believe that the Catholic Church has the fullest expression of what Christ intended from the beginning. Wholeheartedly, I'll die defending that. Mm-hmm. Lord willing, he gives me the grace to die to do that. But there's a difference on how you go about that. We've had conversations before of at the last Common Table series, one of the things that somebody brought up at one of the tables was what's one of your greatest fears of pursuing unity with your brothers and sisters, or what keeps you from pursuing unity? And somebody said the fear that all that they care about is getting me on their side, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's my friend that was sitting next to me, and I was like, I looked at him, I was like, as much as what you have is amazing and beautiful, and that we have as well, that we have in common, I said, as much as I want you to have the other things that I have as well, because it wasn't just meant for us, it was meant for all Christians. Mm-hmm. I said, as much as I want you to have that, I love you no matter what. And like, you have to work that out with the Lord. And that's between you and him to work out. It's not my duty to push anything.
Yeah.
That approach is so vastly different than trying to shove anything down anyone's throat. Cause like, for me, it wasn't shoved down my throat, and I had to work it out. Like, yeah. Paul says, work out your salvation. Yeah. Like, and Natalie had to work it out. And I know you had to work it out in your own way. It's, we love our Protestant brothers and sisters, and yes, we want them to have what us Catholics have, but also like, we realize like the Lord is the one they have to work that out with. Yeah. We can't, we're here to, love and be family and build the bridges and let the Holy Spirit work out what he needs to work out.
Yeah. I laugh when you talked about, you know, Natalie defending the Catholic ideas, right? This is exactly the same trajectory for us. Very similar, right, Caleb? I spent years kind of in secret doing the research, mentioned a couple times. My wife was like, wait, are you not serious, are you? Oh, no, I'm not like serious, right? And then kind of came out and told her that was this thing. And for us, it was this marriage counselor we were going to work out some like details of that conversion. Like, I was converting, she wasn't, kind of staunchly. Yeah. We wanted to find a good neutral marriage counselor to help us just kind of work out how can we process this together. Yeah. Yeah. Ended up, this guy was the complete wrong, awful. First of all, I think he was divorced, which was probably a red flag. Didn't advertise that, but I think he was divorced as a marriage counselor, not probably the most ideal position. But he was like a Mennonite. So we thought pretty safely in the middle, kind of like not staunchly either side, like pretty easygoing. Yeah. But ended up kind of grilling me on aspects of the Catholic faith. Oh, and it was my wife Maria, who was like, oh, actually, like, no, they believe this, not what you're saying. Like, here's the... So when you said that, I was like, yes, Natalie, this is the same thing for us, right? Was that? And that was kind of the turning point when I began to realize, and I think she began to realize, right, wait a minute, I think I believe these things because now I'm defending these things, right?
Yeah.
But like you guys say, it wasn't something that I kind of had to, right? She had to work that out for herself, right? Like I did, like you did, Caleb, like you did, Natalie. It's not a thing you can force somebody to reckon with. Like, that's between them and the Lord, right? You can help to explain those misconceptions, like to help to dispel those misconceptions and the misunderstandings. Yeah. You can help, you know, you can live out your faith right from that praise position, and others will hopefully see that and be drawn in, but it's the Lord that does that drawing, right? There's so little we can do apart from just trust and obey and live out our faith, right? And others, you know,
and inviting them in to not only what we believe, but also to partaking in what they can partake of. Yeah. And like, that's how Caleb's brothers ended up.
Yeah, they both just came
in. What? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yep. They both just came in last Easter.
Yeah, so they've been Catholic for a whole year already, and we're just like, wow, this is amazing. But, yeah.
It was one of the coolest moments. We were leading a worship retreat at the University of St. Francis, so the place that David went to, and we were in the chapel. It was the end of the retreat. We were leading worship in the chapel upstairs in the balcony. And at one point, I lean over the edge and I look down. And I had my brother. He had been there to like videotape and do all kinds of stuff. I look down and I know my brothers. They've had faith growing up, but like stepping into their Catholic faith, like, I've never seen them like on fire the way that they have been. Mm-hmm. But I remember looking down. He'll hate me for me saying this, but I don't care. He was down in with his girlfriend now. I don't think they were dating yet. Were they? Were they dating? Or his fiance now?
I think they had just started
dating. Yeah. He's sitting down in the pew and she's next to him, and there's, I think, there wasn't really anybody else down there. Mm-mm. And he's has his head down, and he just has his hands, like, raised towards, like, tabernacle, and I was just like, oh my gosh.
As Jesus, was Jesus exposed?
No.
No, okay.
No, yeah. It was just inviting, like, there's like the whole aspect of like explaining things and tearing down walls in that way, but then there's a whole nother thing of inviting people in. Like, we've had so many of our Protestant like family come in and like lead adoration and worship with us.
Yeah, even and mass music.
Yeah, and mass music. Like, it's just, it's so beautiful, and it's like inviting those who've come and done it before. They're like, yeah, it. They don't like, it's not as foreign to them as like what maybe it would have been if we hadn't have. It's just, and then like we've gone and we've led with them in different avenues, and it's just
and like I'm the Lord's bringing up the I don't know how much more time we have, but there's another story that I really think that needs to be shared. But do you remember when we invited them to last USF retreat? Not this past one, but the one before that.
Just leave the names out.
Okay, do you want to tell them? Because I'll accidentally
it was just, so, I'll try and reframe. So, like, it was just, it was so beautiful because, like, a lot of times between Protestants and Catholics, you don't think of Protestants believing in the Eucharist that it's actually Jesus present.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the midst of all of this, like, we're realizing that there's more that we believe in certain circles together than actually what we don't. And this one particular retreat, I'll leave the names out. One particular retreat that it wrecked me as a Catholic watching this.
Yeah. That's so cool.
They had come and led worship with us.
Two of our Protestant brothers.
Yeah. We led like what, 5 sets of worship throughout the whole day.
Mm-hmm. And they're both like worship pastors.
Yeah. And like, even like while some of the students were having a time of confession with priests, we were leading in the room as like filling the background music, but just like ministering to the Lord while confession was, I was just blown away that like this even happened. The end of the night comes, Father brings in Jesus in the Eucharist, and our friends, they both drop to the floor facing the Eucharist before all the Catholics hit the floor. I was just like, what in the world? Like, you just never see anything like that. And it's like, we got to share that with them. And I was like, how beautiful.
Well, and like, not only that, but like both of them, one of them ended up sitting like almost directly in front of the Eucharist and just like staring at it and like just in awe and wonder. And then our other friend like went to the back of the room. He laid prostrate on the floor and was sobbing like a baby, and then later texted me and said like that was a foundational or like pivotal or like
core memory
there we go, like that I had like with the Lord. And I was just like, oh my gosh, they did that in the presence of the Eucharist. I'm like, wow, that's so cool.
It was just
yeah,
it was blown away. It was just so like, we wouldn't be able to share any of those moments if like none of this would have happened.
Yeah,
and the relationships that have been built, and it's
and we joke all the time about how like the Lord like multiplied like our community and like the amount of people that we know, like going from like we know more people now being Catholic than we ever did just because of all the circles that the Lord's placed us in at the right time and the right place. So
I don't know if this kind of stuff's happening in other places. I hope it is around the world, but in Fort Wayne, like, there's something unique happening here. I heard somebody talk about before Fort Wayne became like colonized and everything, there was this, I want to make sure I use the proper term, Native American Indian chief that was here. His name was Chief Little Turtle. And apparently like their tribe lived here. And I don't know if it was between 2 other tribes or if it was like the settlers that came to the Fort Wayne area, but like made peace between 2 different groups of people. And it's like, like it's like that's it could mean nothing, but it's like that's already happened on the land we're all living. So it's just the Lord's doing such amazing things in this city, and hoping that it just continues to spread. So
that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing, guys. I love it. We could talk for obviously hours.
Yes.
And I think hours more. This has been amazing. This has been awesome. I can't even begin, guys. It's an amazing story. The work you're doing is phenomenal. Just that saying yes to the Lord over and over again, and just going where he's taking you. I thank you. Thanks for that.
And thank you for what you do, Keith. Like, in listening to all the interviews and the people that you've brought on, I think I actually remember the priest you were talking about earlier, the friend of yours from Chicago. And like, just the, yeah, being like the name that you have, Cordial Catholic, like every interview you've done, every person you've talked to, like, you live it out.
Yeah.
So you're making more of an impact than maybe you probably realize.
Yes.
So.
Thanks. Thanks.
You impacted us.
Yeah, you did. And I found you before we were, because I remember Googling like good Catholic, I wanted podcasts to listen to while I was out mowing the yard. I was like, what are good Catholic podcasts? It was Pints with Aquinas. Mm. And a couple others, and yours popped up too. And I was like, who's this guy? So I started listening, and it's awesome.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. Like, these stories, yeah, it's mind blowing when it comes to 360 like this. And I can invite you guys to be on this thing. So I don't know how this happened, but I'll keep it going for as long as the Lord gives me this crazy ministry.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Beautiful. Where can people go to find and follow more of what you guys are doing, though? Because, like you say, there's something happening, you know, in Fort Wayne, in this movement that I hope is spreading and going to spread. I mean, I can't tell God what to do, but I feel like it's a good idea that what you guys are doing,
yeah,
and it would be a good idea to you know, keep this going. So, where do you want to point them towards to find and follow your stuff?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook and Instagram, so you can find us at Shema Culture. Just like search Shema Culture on either one of those, and then we should pop up. And we also have a website, so it's ShemaCulture.org. And how you spell Shema is similar to how it sounds. It's S-H-E-M-A, and then culture. Everybody should know how to spell that. If you don't, just Google. So yeah, ShemaCulture.org. Find us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook as well. Either platform. And usually we try to be consistent and up to date with what's going on and what we're doing. And if you're just interested, we have a whole lot more information about what we've done, who we've served. There's even like a cool video that you can watch on our website to just see a little bit more about how people have been impacted. So the Lord has blessed us tremendously just in this small time or short time that we've been in ministry.
It's amazing.
One of the things I'll share really quick, we didn't get to share it, but like one of the other things we're involved with too is we lead every Tuesday morning. There's a 24/7 prayer room downtown Fort Wayne that was initiated by a good friend of ours who's Protestant. And the idea was, Fort Wayne has been known as the city of churches. And the idea was making it the city of the church, which is kind of ironic with, and the idea was the prayer room would be hosted by all different churches across the city, different denominations. There would be slots that people would come in, and then they would be there for, if anyone wants prayer, they can walk into the building. There would be corporate worship in the morning and evening, and different teams lead. So there's information on our website about that. It's called Prayer Works. So it's awesome. So many other things we could throw out there, but.
I'm sure it's amazing, guys. Well, listen, I want to say part two in the future. This was hard to get part one down. You guys are insanely busy. You mentioned before, like, you know, 5-6 retreats in like 5 weeks. It's been crazy.
We will definitely make time for part two.
It's been awesome, guys. I want to say thank you. I want to say God bless you guys and the awesome work you are doing for the church. It's phenomenal. I love it. And thank you for being here on this show today and giving us this awesome, huge chunk of time. Listeners, viewers, I think are hopefully going to love this and just eat this up. It's been awesome, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. And anyone out there that is discerning what the Lord's wanting them to do, be willing to go all in, no matter how crazy it seems.
If it doesn't make sense.
If it doesn't make sense, yeah. He will come through every time, and it's worth it. Mary and Joseph both gave their fiat, and look what happened. Yeah. They brought the Savior of the world in.
End on that note, guys. Way to go.
just by a simple yet, like what one yes can do. Yeah. Somebody else could be out there, and the Lord's just waiting for them to say yes. And think about all the souls that can be brought home because of that yes.
That's a very good word. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
yes,
Keith.
Thanks, Keith.
That was great to meet you.
Yes.
You wonderful. Too. Wow, guys. This might show in the video version of this podcast at youtube.com/thecordialcatholic, but my face is just aching from smiling for the last 2 hours. What an amazing story. What an amazing couple. What an amazing journey. I hope you loved that. Gosh, amazing conversation. Hopefully that touched you like it touched me and will touch and impact many listeners to this show. Let me know. cordialcatholic@gmail.com is our email address for your feedback. I'm often inundated, overwhelmed with emails, but I will get back to all of those as soon as humanly possible. So thank you for reaching out. We're on Instagram, on TikTok, and on Twitter @cordialcatholic. We are the Cordial Catholic on Facebook. Please find and follow us on any of those platforms where your heart desires to find us. Our website is thecordialcatholic.com for show notes for this show, for links, my blog, and those kinds of things. And yes, of course, we're on YouTube at youtube.com/thecordialcatholic to watch what you are hearing. And hey, if you haven't already subscribed to that channel, please consider heading over there to YouTube, subscribing to the channel, liking some videos, hitting the bell. All those things help to tell the YouTube algorithm, which is a kind of a strange beast, that you like that show, this show, and others might like it as well. Please do that if you can. That would be fantastic. To support the show financially with our new our supporters, those links are in the show notes for Patreon and for PayPal. And thank you to those who are already supporting the show. You guys are amazing. And hey, please pray for me. Know that I'm praying for you too. It's been an amazing ride. Thank you. God bless. Take care. Talk to you again very soon. This show is brought to you in a special way by our co-producer patrons over at patreon.com/cordialcafe. A special thanks to Ellie and Tom, Kelvin and Susan, Stephen, Suzanne and Victor, Phil, Noah, Nicole, Michelle, Jordan, John, James, Gina, and Aram for your special support at the co-producer tier and making this thing possible. You guys are fantastic. God bless and thanks for your support.